Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, and thank you so much, Isaiah, to each and every morning, introducing the show to our 41,000-plus listeners, getting closer and closer to that 42,000 mark. I don't know, we might just crack 42,000 listeners before we go into 2013. It truly is listener-supported radio, and we'd like to thank all of the people who have taken time to tune into a show here on Homebase Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. You really make us feel proud and happy, because we know that by you listening, that means that we must be sharing something of value. Something of value. Hey, we're winding down. We have today and tomorrow to finish the program we've been doing for the last 3 weeks, which is reviewing the works of the late, great George Sapir, who transitioned and went home to glory and became an ancestor on December 10th, 2010. A week after doing a major show here with us on Home-Based Business 101, truly honored by his presence when he was here and honored in his presence and spirit right now as we're going through his works. This week we're finishing up his book, Getting Black Folks to Sell. Getting Black Folks to Sell. And we're going to go ahead and dive a little bit more into this book this morning. We was going through yesterday understanding the basic selling process. And so we're going to pick back up on some information out of that chapter. And then tomorrow we're going to wrap all of this up, and then we'll play part of the interview that we did with George back in 2010. We'll play part of that also tomorrow. Okay, we're talking about the presentation, and here's some points that he shares about your sales presentation. He says, one, don't monopolize the presentation regardless of how much information you have to give. Use questions to make prospects participate. Otherwise, you'll have no idea where their minds might be. So, so important. If you're selling a car to someone, you know, you need to ask questions. What color do you like? You know, would you want that to be a two-seater or a four-seater or whatever? I mean, you know, questions. So the person is participating in your presentation, responding. You know, in our business, the travel business, you know, we're sharing with people about the travel. You know, one of the questions we're always asked is, where's your favorite vacation spot? You know, let them tell you. Let them tell you, you know, get them involved in the process. Ask them a question so they can participate, as he said. Other than that, it's a monologue, monopolize the presentation, and they can't wait for you to shut up and get out of their house or wherever you're meeting them. Number two, he says, summarize your thoughts periodically rather than asking the prospect to give equal value to every word you say. Give some kind of order to your presentation, numerically, problem solving, historical, some other conceptual framework. Now, what he says is, you know, as you're going through the presentation, have breakpoints in which you summarize what you said as opposed to trying to get them to understand, you know, respond to every single word, you know, summarize. Number three, and this is really good, he says, try to add a little humor to the presentation as long as it's not a stale, dry joke. Humor does a lot to reduce tension and spur trust. So again, we have a saying, facts tell and stories sell. So, you know, you want to be able to have a story that you can put in there, a little bit of humor, you know, something that relaxes the person also, and that's so important. Next, George says, every sales book written in the last 20 years says that enthusiasm is the single most important thing to have in a sales presentation. He says, I have seen so much false enthusiasm and over-enthusiasm in my experience that I've chosen to substitute the word belief for enthusiasm, but I will have to admit that it's almost impossible to express a strong belief and not be enthusiastic. But generally speaking, showing enthusiasm comes from the head. Having belief comes from the heart. I think prospects can tell the difference. So he said, you know, yes, you want to be enthusiastic, but it's got to be genuine. He's saying genuine enthusiasm, not just enthusiasm, you know, to be enthusiastic, but genuine enthusiasm, and a person, you know, won't be able to identify with that. So he said it's very important. So he substituted the word belief. And those out there that's involved in the sales process, you know that, yes, you do have to be excited about what you're sharing, and that excitement has to be genuine. You cannot be doing a presentation with someone and you're sharing the information and you're just talking like, and, you know, this product can do such and such, and it would really be nice for you to purchase it and own it, because I just really think it would go well with what you would see. That's like dead. No, that's dead. You sell somebody, hey, this picture, Al, this picture frame would look great on your mantelpiece with your grandson's picture in it. Oh, wow. You know, I just think it would really add a beautiful decor to your home. You know, excitement, enthusiasm, you know, it's very, very important. Next, he says, use a reasonable amount of data in sales aid. In addition to your verbal and vocal skills, there are a lot of other things that will continue to impress people. They include statistics and figures, maps, charts, skills, reports, objective terminology, and testimony. Use them as they apply to products, persons, and circumstances. You know, video presentations are really good. Just make sure the video is not too long. It's like, you know, with our company, we have a nice short 7-minute video. Then we got a sizzle video, one for 2 minutes and 45 seconds. You know, depending on, as you feel your prospect out, you know, you don't want to put on a video that's so long that it's really like a training video. If you're doing a presentation, you're not doing training. So you want to make sure if you use a visual aid that it's not too long. Also, one of the videos I like in terms of our business is that we do, our presentations are basically visual. And so the person follows along with us as we do what we call a website walkthrough, where we take them on what we call a test drive. And we're showing them aspects of what they're going to be able to purchase, and then walking them through the steps, and hands-on for them, explanation for us, and, you know, really gets them involved, and then it's visual, and they get to see, you know, pictures and dynamics, and they can click things and go things. It really works out real well. But he's just saying, you know, use, you know, a reasonable amount of data in your sales aids. If you're doing all of the talking, you don't have nothing visual to show the person, it's just talk, 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 and then you whip out the application. I mean, you got to be a very, very convincing person to get people to purchase like that. So we'll make sure you have, you know, as he said, plenty data and sales aids. Next, he says, where you make the presentation has proven to be a factor in some selling instances. This myth suggests that in-home presentations are more effective in the informal setting of the kitchen rather than the formality of the living room. And that depends on the type of presentation you're doing. Again, like I said, what the presentation we do is, since we use the internet or whatever, it depends on what part of the house we're in, or we bring a laptop in and, you know, hook it to the big screen TV so the picture can be bigger, and we're sitting there and we're walking through, going through it. You know, however it is, you want it to be, I would say, in a control setting, a relaxed setting, not too relaxed that you know, that people forget that you're there doing a presentation. He says, now, if you're in a retail environment, then what you want to do is you want to come from behind the counter and communicate, and showing eagerness to you know, come from behind the counter as opposed to staying behind the counter makes the person feel more comfortable. So, behind the counter and they on the other side of the counter, You need to come from behind the counter if you're in a retail situation in terms of walking the person through and closing the sale and talking to them. Okay. Next we have here, George says, that be honest in discussing shortcomings of a product. In other words, if you're honest about the product, don't tell people this is product can do everything when you know that there might be limitations. You know, you let people know. It's just like, you know, we're in the travel industry, we're dealing with resorts. We have some resort places that are higher than us. Well, you know, if you want to get them to go to the higher one, you got to really show the value. But at the same time, you need to know the person's budget. And by knowing their budget, then you know what they can afford, and then you find, you know, what best suits their budget, even though it might not be the 5-star resort. But if their budget allowed them to go to 3.5-star resort, then, you know, you share that with them, and at the same time you share, you know, well, it's not the 5-star. It won't have the same thing that the 5-star resort have, but it's still a decent place to go based on amount of money you're going to spend, still can get a good bang for your dollar. You know, so the thing is, he's saying, you know, is again, being honest with the person. Next, he talks about responding to objections. You know, this is something that really, for some people, it's hard to overcome, or people don't really like dealing with objections. You're going to get objections in the selling process. The people are going to present you with objections. And your thing is, you need to learn how to respond to objections. See, and, you know, some people say, well, objections are lessons in understanding the most interesting things in the world. People. It's inaccurate to label people narrowly as good or bad, smart or dumb, honest or dishonest. People are complex. And dealing with objections and how to remove them, you are mastering not only salesmanship, but you're also understanding of people, and that is power, which is more valuable in learning to overcome objections. The power gained in learning how to persuade and influence people or the financial results of a completed sale. Pause and study this question and your answer. See, objection is almost unavoidable step in the selling process. It's not unavoidable. You're going to get objections. Like right now, you know, we're sharing with people this great business opportunity that we have and letting people know that, hey, there's a tremendous tax benefit in it. And, you know, some people, well, you know, they want to know how. And, you know, we explain to them, and then they will, can I wait? No, if you want to get this tax benefit, you got to do it before the year ends. So you let them know that they can't wait. And showing them the, you know, what would cause if they did wait, how it, you know, it won't work for them. So it's important to be able to get people to understand how or why they need to do what they need to do there. See, the alternative to objections would be totally silence or ignoring of the salesperson altogether. You know, so when people give you an objection, what they're basically saying is, tell me more. Tell me more and tell me why. Other than that, see, if they ignore you and don't say nothing and just say, that's all right, I'm not interested. In order for you to find out why they're not interested, you have to ask, well, you know, what is it that doesn't interest you? You know, you got to dig till they give you that objection. And, you know, the objection could be anything. If the objection is that they don't trust you, very rarely would a person come out and say, well, the real reason I'm not interested is I don't trust you. They'll tell you a whole bunch of other things. Now, you know, you might get some people to just be that bold. I don't trust you. I don't believe you. Then you have to be able to respond back. What is it that you don't believe? Oh, why am I asked that you don't trust me? But you got to respond to the objections. And once you get good at doing presentations, you will hear all kind of objections. And as you learn to overcome objections, you know, there's certain techniques, some that you can use. Some, you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. You know, feel felt found. You know, hey, I feel what you're saying. I felt that way too. But I found out the following information. And after finding that information out, I understood that this really works. So you have to, you know, you have to find a way to identify with the person's objection. And it's got to sound genuine because you just can't, because if people give these different techniques, you just can't say, well, you know, I felt the same way too. You know, or you could say, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. You know, when I first heard about this, you know, I sort of had the same kind of feelings. And then as I began to do a little bit more research, I found out that what people were talking about and what they were sharing, and the information that I sought, found out, really helped me better understand that my feelings weren't based on objectivity. And thus, you know, being able to walk the person through their feelings and dealing with that objection is so, so key, because if you do not get beyond the objection, you will not get to the final stage, which is the close. You got to get to the objection and get to the close. Very rarely, so, will you have a presentation where you don't get any objections. Sometimes that happens. You have a presentation, the person just says, "You're wonderful. Go ahead. I want it right now. Go. What, you know, sign me up." I mean, because as you're going through the presentation and you ask the person, how do you want me to process this? Visa, MasterCard, Visa, MasterCard, Discovery, or checking account? And they say, how do you want to pay for it? I say, how do you want to process this? Keyword, how do you want to process this? You know, pulling the application out. So, well, let's go ahead and process this. And what, and if it's a, you know, if a product you can deliver right then and there, let's go ahead and process this. And let me go get, you fill this out and let me get the item out of my car. So, you know, or if you already have it in there, let me, you know, check, make sure this, you know, item is intact or however you want to deal with it. In our case, I'm fumbling a little bit here with words because I don't do product sales anymore. Like that product that I sell is the online travel and e-commerce store. So usually for me, it's, well, what do you want to name? What name do you want on your store? Because when I took them through the test drive, they was looking at mine. Which is good because, you know, you want to own the product yourself. You own the product yourself, that says a lot. So, you know, I asked the person, what name would you like to have on your store? And boom, I write that on the application. And then I ask them, and what address do you want your checks mailed to? Boom, I write that on the application. In order to pay you, we need your social security number or your tax ID number. Boom, I'm going to write that on the application. And then that's when we get to, you know, I got their name, all of that's in there. And then, you know, that's when we get to the problem. How do you want to process this? Credit card or check? And boom, they pull it right on out. Now, I shouldn't have been got through all of the objections. If they stop me in that process, then they're going to give me an objection. And it's important that I put the pen down, look them in the eye, and make sure you understand the objection. I would repeat it, you know, and, you know, a little technique would say, well, I appreciate what you said, Mr. Prospect. If I understand you correctly, your question is, see, you want to make sure you understand them correctly. You want to repeat the question so that they give you, you know, to give you the question. So, and then your response is an answer to that question. And after you answer the question, okay, great. Did you understand the answer? Or might want to use a different word than understand. Because no one's going to say, no, I didn't understand it. Did that answer your question? Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and process your order. But you got to get to the objection and get to the close. So, you know, so again, as George is sharing with the sales process, the presentation, overcoming objections, and closing. I want your close to be real smooth, real, real smooth. You know, it's important to know how to go through your application as you're closing. Some closes people do right online. And so then you walk the person through the steps, excuse me, as they fill out the application online. But it's important to know how to handle those objections, get through the close so that you can get done what you need to do. All right. Bringing us to wind down time here in terms of today's show, in terms of things that we wanted to cover. Again, some of the things that George talks about is that you want to make sure that you're always improving yourself through training. And one of the things he talks about is communication skills during the selling process. You want to make sure that you are a good listener. You got to hear the client, especially when they give you an objection. That's why I say when they give you an objection, you want to repeat the question back to them so you can make sure you heard it correctly. Very, very important. Also, he says you want to, you know, always be working to improve your listening skills. Improve your listening skills. He says the following hints are being offered for the express purpose of assisting people in becoming better listeners. While it's good to keep them all in mind, it might be more practical to identify two or three areas that you feel you are in most need of improvement. Have a purpose for listening. Most good listeners are naturally curious people. They love to absorb information from all sources and just add it to their general memory bank. If you're not that way, it's all right. But when asked to listen to someone, try to give yourself a specific purpose for listening to that person. Purposeful listening is better listening. Two, pay attention to voice inflection. So, how does the person say what they say? You know, that'll let you know what they are trying to convey to you based on the intonation of their voice. Number three, this is a very, very important one that we all have to learn. We get excited and want to answer the question. Do not interrupt. Let a person finish what he or she is saying. The most anger-provoking thing that a listener can do to a speaker is to interrupt before he or she finishes. Particularly if the practice is habitual, the listener may as well tell the speaker, shut up, you have nothing of importance to say. Interrupting the speaker is usually a sign of insecure, provoked, or tired listener, as well as disregard for the speaker. Avoid this habit at all costs, especially in sales. If you're not understanding what the person is saying, wait until he or she stops talking and then ask for further explanation. Again, he said, you know, do not interrupt the person when they, especially say, they give me an objection. Let them say what they have to say. If you need to, take out a pen and take notes. And then when they finish, ask them, or did you share everything that you wanted to share with me on that point? Okay, then you go back and you respond point by point. He says, next, do not plan your rebuttal while a person is still talking. Most people often do not completely hear what another is saying because they're planning their rebuttal while the other party is still making their points. So, you know, it's important that you make sure that you're giving that person your undivided attention and listening carefully. Next, he says, do not go off in response to an emotionally charged words. No. Do not go off. You know, be very, very smooth. Don't be emotionally charged with your response because then the person feels as though that you're putting them down. You don't want that to happen because even if they don't buy now, you want them to feel good about you, and you want to plant a seed in their mind so that they will come back to you. So these, again, are some techniques that he talks about in terms of, you know, communication. He says also observing nonverbal communication. I have this thing I call reading the body language. Reading the body language. Tell Bob, observing the prospect's body language, whether they're really interested or not, you know, and, you know, so you want to get to do that, and prospect also can read your body language and tell whether or not you're lying to them or not. So, you know, are you just beefing this product up to the point that you make it sound so unbelievable? And they're checking your body language out, and they're saying, you know, hey, you don't believe in this yourself. You know, it's a bunch of bull. So, you know, body language is very, very important. Listening is very, very important in the sales process. And again, hey, we've been going through today some information out of Getting Black Folks to Sell by George Shabir, and shared some information with you from the book and sort of gave you some of my own thoughts and opinions about the information in here, and it's going through the sales process, presentation, overcoming objections, and closing. That is basic sales process. Well, you know, there's one other step. In order for you to get to the presentation, you got to pique somebody's interest. And depending on what type of sales business you're in, you got to pique their interest, maybe get them in front of a presentation, overcome objections, and close the sale. All right. Hey, this has been Bob Ajayi here this morning on Home Based Business 101, and we really like to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to tune in. And we hope you got something out of this show. We always welcome your comments, and you can always send them via text. 252-406-0774. That's 252-406-0774. And tune in with us again tomorrow morning. God willing, and the creek don't rise. My grandmother would say we'll be right back here at you at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning as we wrap up this three-week series that we've been doing on reviewing the works of the late, great George Speer. We'll wrap up a couple other points out of the book, Getting Black Folks to Sell, and we'll play part of the last interview that Brother George did, just so happened to be done right here on Home Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. So until next time, God bless you and have a wonderful day.